Welcome, sports fans, to episode 39 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where everyone's on the first string and no one's a bench warmer. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
We've got a sports-related episode for you today in the wake of the recent Super Bowl, which we all watched with rapt attention, I'm sure. I'm not speaking for you guys improperly. I mean, you spent your entire day glued to the TV, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm really not into bowling, so I didn't watch.
If by watched the Super Bowl, you mean played through most of Borderlands 2, yes, that's exactly what I did.
Hey, by law, I don't think we're allowed to call it the Super Bowl. We have to call it the big game.
Oh, yeah.
I think big game, I think of like one of those trophy hunter video games where you're shooting like...
You know, Cabela for the Wii?
Yeah, something like that.
See, that I'd watch on TV.
I put
bears in an arena, fucking shooting at them with a light gun.
Sounds like fun. Well, before we jump into the topic, let's do our customary weekly geekly roundup. Brian, as seems to be the usual case now, why don't you go first?
Speaking of usual cases, I played Borderlands last week.
Oh yeah?
That's kind of it.
How was that for you, sir?
I'm really enjoying it. I got over my early game blues. It's a fun game. It is more Borderlands, but still making me laugh, still frustrating me. I'm very pleased that I can't just stomp through everything solo. I do need to multiplayer sometimes. Kind of thrilled about that.
That's cool, man. I'm glad it grew on you. I didn't really try to get through the game multiplayer when I went through it the first time. I was always kind of paired up, so I'm glad that it actually... I'm not glad for people who are even bigger shut-ins than us that you have to have friends to beat it, but... I'm glad you like it and are enjoying multiplayer.
And Polar Bear's Cafe. Wow, I'm so surprised at that series. The last two episodes I watched have just been so different than anything earlier. I keep trying to typecast it, I guess. Is this, you know, meant for kids because it's polar bears and they're cute? Is this meant for adults because they see the deeper level? Is it meant for stoners because talking animals? And the last two episodes, I think 25 and 26, just threw me for a loop. No spoilers, but holy cow.
It wouldn't be too much of a spoiler. It might pique interest if you just kind of told us what the titles were or what they were about, very high level.
The one that I loved so much was 26, where it just goes off on three new characters. It's Grizzly's Bar, but he's just kind of serving. He's not even in the episode or anything. And there's three long-lost friends that are trying to reconnect and remember their youth. And they're making fun of the... I think it's the tiger that's got a family, and his wife's a good cook, so he's kind of getting fat. And the lion is like a corporate kind of stuffed shirt now, and he's like, oh, guys, I can't stay out too late. I've got a brunch in the morning. And then the wolf yells at him. He's like, you're a fucking lion. What are you eating brunch for?
Wow. That's great.
Of course, something happens that like kind of ties in the rest of the actual cast, and it's not anything I ever saw coming, and it's a brilliant, just it's hilarious. It explains backstory. It continues the current story. It's just awesome. It's really well done. I was taken aback. Genius episode.
Awesome. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. That was about it.
That's pretty full. I can't express to people how full your week can be when it is consumed by Borderlands and Polar Bears Cafe.
I would like for it to be filled with more gaming, but my friends keep falling down things. So when that's...
I'm told that's happened to some members of the cast. Speaking of falling down, let's fall down to the next person in our weekly roundup list. That would be you, Ricky. What have you been up to?
I have been up to a bunch of aggravating Epic Mickey.
Well, at least you're sticking with it.
Yeah, not for much longer. I'm going back to Skylanders. I just need a break, I think. And I also find that I get so aggravated that I think I get like motion sickness from the camera angles in the game. So I end up walking away frustrated and nauseous. So it's been a lose-lose situation for me lately. Still fun in small doses, I guess. I'm going to have to just chomp away at it. And I got to get Kimberly to play with me. Then it'll be a definite boost in my enjoyment level for sure. Other than that, been playing some Lego Star Wars, The Complete Saga, which is always fun. I have switched over from playing it on the DS to playing it on the big screen on the Xbox, and I'm loving it. And that's pretty much it. Just hanging out with those two games.
Nice. I just want to comment that I believe the subscript of the title is the power of two. So the game must be much better when you have two people.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I just wanted to get a real firm grasp on it. And she's been watching me play a lot lately. So it's just a matter of finding time where we can both sit down and hack away at it. So
cool. I guess it brings it around to me. But I'll give away what I've been up to this week, which is watching Polar Bears Cafe.
How far are you?
I want to say I'm an episode or two behind you. I did the I think the most recent one I watched involved Panda getting taking on different positions at the zoo, and concluded with Llama taking Panda's place as Panda. Which, I'll just paint this picture: a llama with its long neck, with basically a panda costume on, so that the panda's face is like right around the llama's like torso, and doing panda bear tricks and saying service, service, basically mimicking what Panda does.
Nice.
So good, so good. It turns out that Panda's best suited for the role of Panda at the zoo. And I won't give any more away. Apart from that, I have been playing some Borderlands, playing some Final Fantasy XIII, and just a couple days ago, I attended the sporting a party at a friend of mine's house for the sporting event known as the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, I usually get invited. People must like me. For all my like geeky quirks, they invite me to like, you know, social events like the Super Bowl with their family and friends around. And yeah, it's a gathering. I hang out and I can kind of follow the game. I'm not a sports fan or whatever, but like I know what's going on enough to follow it. And yeah, it occurred to me that, you know, I can get away with watching football one time per year and pretty much get as much out of it as if I watched it all year. So football. But another thing that occurred to me is
I think you have to say that football or something like that. Don't
football,
you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Get into it, you pussies. There, is that better? So the other thing that occurred to me, and was at least from my perspective a motivator for tonight's show topic, was the thought that we should, or maybe do, but don't recognize as such, have a Super Bowl for super geeks, or a Super Bowl for geeks if we don't want to overuse the word super.
Okay. We're going to have to see geeks.
A bowl for geeks, a big bowl of geeks.
That sounds gross.
That really does. That just sounds smelly and maladjusted. But yeah, basically, I thought that we could start by identifying some events that take place during, you know, the normal geek calendar year that qualify as sort of Super Bowl like in their appeal, in their mass appeal, and sort of discuss how they're maybe in some way analogous to an event like the Super Bowl or any pick your mainstream sporting, you know, championship, festival, whatever you want.
Yeah, whether it be the basketball bowl or the baseball bowl or whatever.
Right, or the hockey bowl.
Oh, that's the Stanley Cup. I actually do know that one.
You do know that one, right. The baseball bowl is actually the World Series, and the NBA one is the basketball. You should know that.
Go Heat!
Let's go Heat! I think the Heat are the champions of the basketball, just so you guys know. That's our hometown team, I'm told. But, you know, in addition to discussing geeky events that are analogous to a Super Bowl or what have you, I thought we could then round things up by crafting our own Super Bowl for super geeks. Come up with our own awesome event or series of events that would rival the Super Bowl, that might even take football fans away from football. And, you know, who am I kidding? That's never going to happen. But you get my point.
That would be put all the geeks into the arena and let all the football fans come and beat the shit out of them.
Bro, high just school! Like high school all over again. Yeah, exactly. So let's get down to it, guys. Let's let's talk about some existing events that at least in the microcosm that is the geek culture scene rival the Super Bowl in terms of their importance and preeminence in the popular imagination.
Well, there's one that's there, and it's obvious, and it's pretty gigantic, but I don't want to blow the wad all at once. So I'm going to say Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Yeah. Dragon Con is pretty huge, right?
Yeah.
In the east of the country, is that like the biggest con, would you say?
I think so, yeah. I think it's bigger than like the New York Comic Cons and stuff like that. Its reputation, as far as I'm concerned, it has always seemed like a bigger and more like, oh my god, kind of event than anything else on the East Coast, for sure.
Something larger might like actually eke out attendance, but I agree. I've always heard like it's still the biggest, best con.
I mean, you got insane, badass concerts that take place. Always has robot fights. You know, anything and everything. Sci-fi, anime, comic book, pop culture, gaming. Everything all smashed into it, which I think is where most of its popularity comes from. You know, it's not like PAX East Coast is pretty gigantic, but it's really video games. You know what I mean?
Well, video and tabletop games.
Yeah, yeah. But gaming.
Gaming, yeah, yeah. So Dragon Con is that sort of scattershot, like, you know, pan geek con and succeeds wildly at that, you'd say. Draws in sports fans. It's like mixing the Super Bowl and the basketball.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because you got the anime fans, you've got the sci-fi fans, you've got the gaming fans, you've got the comic book superhero fans. You got a kind, you know, you've got the crossover fans as well as the diehards of their genre, all attending this one gigantic festival of awesome.
Nice. Brian, did you have a comment?
No, not really.
I thought I heard you chomping at the bit to contribute. Yeah, Rick, I think you've cited a good example there of a big event in the calendar for our people, for our kind.
There's also, on the East Coast, we have, well, it's been on the East Coast for the last few years anyway, but we have Celebration.
Oh, yes, which I think is going to be celebrated so far on the East Coast that it's going to be like in Germany next time, isn't it?
I don't know. I just know that the last few times it's been here, it's been in Orlando.
Yeah, so that's the Star Wars Celebration. Yeah, I think the next one is going to be over like in Europe. But my understanding is those are going to bounce back and forth between like overseas and the U.S., which tells you something about the scope.
It's pretty gigantic.
Yeah, I mean, not even the Super Bowl goes over to Europe. They just keep it here in this country.
They do. It's just called. It's the Soccer Bowl.
I forgot about that. There's another sport. We didn't mention that one. Actually, that's called the World Cup. I know what that one's called too.
FIFA, baby. I only know because of video games.
Regardless, all those are played domestically, whereas the Celebration is an international affair.
Yep.
That's a great example. Now we're really approaching the grandeur that is, you know, of the Super Bowl. Along the Star Wars theme, and I'll broaden my focus, I would say that the launch of Star Wars movies, but really sci-fi or, you know, fantasy movies in general, or like the Harry Potter movies when they were out, are pretty big international events. You've got, there you have like legions of essentially sports fans, but for the respective intellectual property.
Yeah, they're like mini local ones that happen all over the place, all simultaneously.
Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. There you go. You just helped me draw the analogy I was struggling with. It's just like when there's a big game that not everyone can attend. Bars all across the country have parties for you know, fans of either team. You know what I mean? And so it is like all the local theaters. You get these turnouts of these like local Harry Potter, you know, fan groups or Lord of the Rings or Star Trek or Star Wars. And you know, they show up and they're all excited about these big launches.
Right, so instead of going to Hooters to watch the Daytona 500, we all went to our local movie theaters and watched the pod races on Boonta Eve.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And many people were dressed up as the bizarre.
I kind of want to shoot myself for having followed that all perfectly.
that lingo should be as familiar to you as you know, sports talk is to the guys at the water cooler who repel you by talking about sports. Yeah. Hey, bro, you see that game last night? That was like an awesome 7-point conversion there in the fourth inning. You know, they really got a nice power play out of that. Yeah. I watched that. That was great.
You forgot to name drop, like, the players are your bros.
Yeah. Dude, we kicked ass last night. You know, LaShawn Bradson, he really kicked ass. That was a plausible name, LaShawn. I think I mixed a few known sports names into that one. That could be a real guy. But yeah, you know, I would say we have, like, a lot of big games, so to speak, when, especially now that we live in this era where there's a lot of mainstreaming of formerly geeky, what am I looking for, subject matter, let's say.
And we can kind of look at some of the things as, like, the games that build up to the big game, in giant air quotes. Like, we have Star Wars Weekends. That's held at Disney Hollywood Studios, Disney MGM Studios, and stretches out over, like, the entire month. And you can go and...
It's like 6 weeks now, isn't it? Don't they just keep expanding it?
Yeah. That's kind of like going to, like, a bunch of home games, I guess. It's not celebration, but it is still a badass involvement that you don't have any other way. Like, okay, what, do you get together with your friends and, like, read comic books together or watch Star Wars movies? This is kind of like you and your beer-drinking buddies going and watching your local sports team at a home game.
Yeah. I agree.
So really, I mean, what it boils down to is there's some decent things that take place all around the U.S. for us to attend, to get our geek on. And like the analogy that I just used, it's kind of like going to a game. And all these individual games build up to the, we could say, like, Dragon Con and PAX and stuff like that. Those are like playoffs, or the semifinals. But it all leads up to the one, the biggest, the best, the only Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's the undisputed leader, right? That gets mainstream media coverage even, right?
Yeah. To the point where I think it's actually gone to be equally as accepted as the Super Bowl. It's gotten to the point where the geek culture that has supported it for all those years is now being shunned and can't even get in. Because it's all about, you got Paris Hilton and any other person you want to name that's on TMZ is traipsing their way around and through there. So,
which is so weird to me, because that seems like a very... They seem out of place there, just...
Well, it became a product.
I mean, I guess it would be as weird to see them there as it would to be, like, walking around and see, like, a Volvo booth or something, you know what I mean? I'm sure you would. Right.
But, you know, that kind of brings us full circle to why we need to reinvent the Geek Super Bowl.
Yeah!
Equivalent.
Create it as something pure. Something that draws people in on its own terms, as opposed to something that changes itself to appeal to a broader audience.
Popular enough to be big, but small enough to stay true.
What could it be? Now, at this point, we put on our imagination caps and we... I want to say we could fire up the Dream Factory again, but I think we can sketch this one out on napkins and submit it later to the Dream Factory for production.
Okay, well, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to put in the first ballot. And the first little ballot is going to have the word robot fighting.
Ooh. I like it. Writing that one down.
For me, it's a definite eye-opener. When I see that there's going to be any sort of robotics or robot fighting at any of these events, I want in.
Now, when you say... Actually, do you want to discuss each of these as we go, or do you want to have each of us throw in a ballot and then...
However you want to go.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's talk about the robot fighting, and then we'll move on and have somebody else put in something if they have. Or the robot fighting might just win it, because I like the idea.
Okay, so I've been nominated decision maker and curator of the robotic events at the Nerdstravaganza Bowl the Ganza Bowl. And I will now take your questions.
So are we going big or little?
That's my question. Contenders. Yeah.
Me personally, I like anything from the 1 pounders up to the 1500 pounders. So anything from RC to full blown real steel. So I'm going to need to pair this, it has to be shaved down to, rather than just blanket and say any and all robots welcome. As you guys aren't as into it as I am, what would you guys like to see as, like, non-giant, you know, non-robo-geeks on the level that I am?
I'd like to go see Real Steel. I'd like to see, like, human-size or bigger robots, like, just trashing each other.
I think that would sell, too, because I was kind of into the robot fights we've seen, you know, the 20-pounders, the 25-pounders. But I can kind of see that being limited appeal. I think if you get real still, we'll just go with it again. If you get large contenders, maybe even as cheesy as it sounds, like, not necessarily a duel, maybe like a team sport. You know, like they do the Puppy Bowl or whatever. Yeah. Just do the Robo Bowl.
And they actually do. They have those at pretty much at most of the robot events that I've been to. They'll have everybody in the class gets together in the arena at once, and it's just a last man standing kind of thing. So even if you've lost your match previously, as long as your robot still rolls, you can go in and it, you know, it's like a kill 'em all type of event. But I do want to mention, there's a new show. Like, dude, we may end up seeing at the Ganza Bowl, we may end up seeing some actual real steel style fighting.
Oh?
There's a brand new show that's coming out on Sci-Fi, starts February 26th, and it is exactly Real Steel. So much so that the shadow boxing apparatus and everything is all in play.
Wow.
I kid you not.
Wow.
So it should be interesting to keep track of that. And, dude, we may see it. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be at Robo Games, which is held in California once a year, which is kind of like the robot Super Bowl of robot combat and agility and stuff like that. So definitely, it's definitely something that's on the horizon. So what do we want to talk about that's not on the horizon? I'm going to throw one in the ring. Robotic jousting.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that would be badass.
That would be really cool. So they'd be on mounts of some kind, and then what would the mounts be? Like robot, like, could they be robot ostriches?
They would have to be. I wouldn't accept anything else. No, I'd say like any kind of mechanical, you know, it'd be kind of cool though, is maybe real human jousters on mechanical steed, mechanized and moving, not wheels that roll. That's, and not on a track or anything like that. Walkie style.
Like on creepy...
like Magitek armor.
Actually, yeah, from Final Fantasy. Like creepy, like legs that articulate, like the, yeah, that weird MIT robot that,
yep,
I just want to burn every time I see it because it looks so freaking weird.
That thing is frightening.
It's horrible. If I saw it running out of, that's like out of a nightmare.
It really is. That is one of the most nightmarish things I've ever seen. I think it's Big Dog or something like that it's called. I'm like on their mailing list and I'm always seeing like video snippet updates, and that thing is just getting creepier and creepier by the fucking month, dude.
I don't like the way it like when it stumbles, the way it like catches its balance. That's just wrong.
If I saw that thing coming after me in a time of war, I would want to be dead just because I'd be so scared that I don't want it near me.
I know. Imagine that thing chasing you around. Ugh.
But just think, like, and I'm not even limiting it to, like, real animals. Like, you could have some, like, Ghost in the Shell style, like, fucking spider runners that run down the list, and you've got, you know, you're sitting on the top of it with your land. Ah, dude, it would be cool.
I like it. I like it. You kind of are feeding into the idea I'm going with, which was humans, you know, on mounts of sorts, but I was thinking kind of a futuristic racing type of thing out of either a la F-Zero or a la Light Cycles from Tron, where you're in this like impossibly kick-ass, you know, arena or field of play where you're not necessarily constrained by boring laws of physics.
Okay, so so in our robot event, our main, we're gonna cover everything. That's fine. But our main, our special Ganza twist on it is the articulated robotic human hybrid jousting competition.
Okay.
Let's move to the racing, because I like where you're going.
Okay, if I had to come up with a concise name for the type of racing I'm thinking of, it would be futuristic ultra fast vehicle racing. I'm trying to think of a better way to put it. There's something that like the F-Zero racers and the light cycles have in common, and it might just come down to pretty lights and speed, but like there's something elegant in the way that racing is presented in both of those cases. Although right. light cycles are decidedly more like deadly and gladiatorial, but you get my point, right? Like that kick-ass. I would even almost throw something like pod racing in. Like it's just a more elegant form of racing than
kind
of. Go ahead.
Could you arrange magnetic rail racing?
Ooh! Now we're getting into. Now we're backing out of sci-fi and getting into something. So like, you're on like a maglev type of track, or
almost like slot racing, like the little miniature thing. But I mean, there would take skill to stay involved and you know manage the turns, and I think you could do that. I think you could make that a contest of pilots.
I say we throw tech to the wayside. And we're talking about a zero-G bubble dome that this is happening in.
Oh, that would... Yeah. We're just talking about... Yeah,
this is the Dream Factory, man. We're pulling from the sky here.
So let's just call this unconstrained future tech racing. That's a pretty concise way to put it, I think. More than the...
Future tech speed competitions.
Okay. What was it? What did I call it? Unbounded or un?
That'll work.
All right, unbounded future tech speed competitions of some sort. There we go. That's the second sort of genre or whatever.
Okay, so we have to kind of narrow it down. What do we like in that category? I'm kind of liking what you're saying about the. We need to come up with a Ganza twist on F-Zero / Wipeout. / light cycles, because they're all very similar but all very distinctly different at the same time. What would the ultimate one be?
I'm kind of digging just combining our two categories so far and making it, instead of like racing side by side, making it point based, like jousting at 200 miles an hour, where
on the vehicle robots.
And you can get the, you know how they do like the practice joust at Renaissance fairs, where they go for the rings and everything, and the little tiny rings are worth like 100 points, and the bigger rings are worth like 50 points.
Yeah, I like that. So we could have a combat division, but we could also have a skills division.
Yeah.
That's good. And then we can also, like, we could do like some extreme sports. So then you've got the guys doing the motocross stuff, where they do like all the backflips and all like the acrobatics. So just think like maglev zero G propelled acrobatics for taking jumps and all kinds of shit. It, literally machine acrobatics with judging.
Yeah, and I think as you guys keep mentioning the maglev and zero G, I think the thing that sort of seems to unify all the racing types we brought up is that they're not constrained by like vulgar like rubber meets the road physics, right? You're it's insane speed and like very smooth travel and like quick reflexes required, almost superhuman reflexes required not to just get vaporized, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, and I like the idea of various challenges, you know, in various modes using these mounts.
I think these are the kind of things that go above and beyond the level of your standard con or your standard robo games, because they, you know, these are things where people that are technically inept will be in awe because of the technology that's involved, but the sheer bastardization of reality and disgusting possibilities of death and mayhem that are that could be involved will bring in the mainstream people to watch as well. The rubberneckers, if you will.
Yeah, a few good accidents and it'll catch off.
Right, exactly.
So, to at least at this point give something of a summary, what we've come up with as a way to top the sort of faux gladiatorial but highly, you know, monitored and safe combat that goes on in like a football game
is actual combat. Yeah,
actual like deadly combat using impossible technology. I mean, the only way to get people to stop watching grown men chase a ball around the field is to lure them in with grown men like killing each other at the speed of light. In our minds, like, I like how we go completely nuclear with this.
That's how we call in the Ganzaverse, my friend.
Not like a Jetson style, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if robots played football? Nah. Instead, yeah, we go straight for this.
Well, I would have went the Demolition Man route, but or the Running Man route, but that's already been taken, so.
Yeah, this is rolling it Ganja style. I wouldn't want to even try to come up with something that would fit into the real world, because it doesn't work, or somebody would have done it already.
Exactly. All right, so now, go ahead.
I want to say, though, is the appeal of these new modes of brutality that we're for which we're advocating, the fact that you wouldn't really need to be a jock to be good at, you know, operating one of these machines or competing this way? Or do we like the tech aspects of it?
I think it's
close. You guys remember, what was it called? Sliders?
Yeah.
The TV show?
The sci-fi, yeah, the TV series. There was an episode where there was this really god-awful game that it was athletic and intellectual, and they had to like call out answers to trivia questions while shooting baskets, and the episode kind of like made the sport look horribly boring. But I like the concept. I like the thinking physical razor's edge to win.
All right, so then we've got the MacGyver Dome.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you're through, but it still keeps all the blood and death and possibility of blood and death and gore. So you're thrown into this arena, left to your own devices, and you need to scavenge up what you need to either escape or keep yourself safe. Or escape, or whatever you need to do, basically so you don't die between the time that the clock starts and the clock ends.
So it's like...
We went a little overboard with the violence, but sure.
I'm just trying to keep it something I'd watch.
Just trying to keep it nuclear.
It's like Iron Chef, except you're cooking up a recipe to not die. It's like but that has nothing to do with cooking.
Yeah, like you've got a bunch of computer parts strewn all over the arena field, and at any given moment, these Centurion-type robots are gonna come alive and start to chase you down. So you need to hack together something in order to hack into their systems and disable them. Rather than Christians getting eaten by lions, it's tech guys getting killed by robots.
All right, I like it. Yeah,
that's how they'd want to go.
It's not like Iron Chef. It's more like, yeah. It's real life MacGyverism, real time MacGyverism. Oh wow, that'd be kind of horrifying. It'd be kind of like, now you wish you hadn't done so well in school and gotten nominated for this show. No, I don't work well under pressure.
I'm open to hear non-violent versions, but I think the violent versions are what's gonna make it a winner.
We have to, because it's the, you know, if we're talking about football. It's the violence that I mean, I think people like it's kind of like a fake, really, football is like a fake war, kind of, you know what I mean? And your teams are like gaining ground on one another and then launching nukes in the form of footballs. But
right, because soccer is like the most popular game in the entire universe. But nobody watches robot soccer. Yeah. Watch a telecast of robot soccer over the internet, but that's me. To get the masses to watch it, you need some death and gore in there, I think. But it is, I mean, you have to look at it in the sense of that how football, without having the blood, death, and gore, it's all in everybody's imagination. Like, they're able to project it into what they're watching, even though it's not really there. Because it's got to be, I mean, it's got to be why they watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are some people who genuinely will enjoy the sport, but I do know people, like, they watch hockey just because they want to see the fights. And people that watch football just because they like the of it.
You summed up too, football.
If we're really talking about nerd sports catching on, if you could build the community, this is my hometown team, because that seems to be a huge part of who you like and why you watch
definitely
sports.
I think you could and you should, and we would. I think you're right. I think that's key.
Of course, now I have a problem with, like, I'm seeing a dolphin-shaped light speed bike.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, man. The pilots would totally be cosplaying. So you could have, like, a mermaid, you know, racer riding that dolphin-shaped vehicle.
I think I was in on that Kickstarter.
Dude, it'd be badass. Okay, so we really just have to come up with some pretty impossible technology to win this thing, but I think we can do it.
We'll just start a Kickstarter. And our Kickstarter will just be for seeking awesome, out-of-this-world, uninvented technology so we can make a cool sports game that would never be allowed to air and nobody would ever want to participate for fear of death.
Mainly so that we can lure, like, timid, or so that we can make, like, timid, athletically, you know, ungifted geeks the heroes instead of, like, athletes at the who represent the pinnacle of human achievement.
What we need to do is get rogue governments involved in this. It could be developing next generation warfare.
Oh, yes! I like that, dude. That's where we're going to get our funding.
There's a better budget there.
And we don't need to worry about participating or willing participants, because these governments will just throw some people at it. Be like, you have no choice.
Oh, God.
I think this is taking a really ugly turn.
Yeah, because we're essentially proposing that we sign a Doc Brown-like agreement with the Libyans for some, like, nuclear material.
Exactly.
Look at that awesome train he wound up with, though. That totally worked out for him.
It did really. It worked out in the end, didn't it? I mean, we're out of warheads. Well, sorry, your warheads are actually being employed as, like, power drives for these light cycles we built. What? I'm just imagining, like, the phone call with the angry dictator of, you know, rogue state of your choice going something like that.
You guys realize that when we do go to Comic-Con, that this is all we're going to be thinking about, how lame Comic-Con is. Hey, look, there's Paris Hilton. Big deal, dude. We could be watching, like, zero-G death matches.
You're watching Junkyard Wars.
We fill out comment cards. How can we improve? And we fucking write all this shit down. Wow. Hey, look, if the White House will receive a letter advocating for the construction of a Death Star and actually answer the letter, surely the folks at Comic-Con can respond to our comment cards requesting impossible technology.
Agreed.
Hey, you really want to draw them in? Yeah, these celebrities are one thing.
You're missing out on your core crowd, man.
I mean, all you gotta do is come up with, like, the collective defense budgets of every government on Earth to build this attraction, and you're in.
Oh, we could stage like our whole thing of, because we got to get superheroes in there, so we could like not just teams, you know, that are participating, but we'll have a grouping of legitimate superhero guys. Like this is what they live for, almost like wrestling style. You know what I mean?
Just real.
Yeah, just real. These guys live it, love it, breathe it, eat it, sleep it, drink it, etc.
Dude, and where on earth are we going to find people like that at Comic-Con?
I don't know.
Yeah, jeez. Good question.
I don't know. I think it's worth looking into. I don't see it happening in the near future, but I think it's a possibility. We can get some comic books. We can get Tate's behind us, GXE. I think we can just local. Start there. We'll do it local, like Fight Club style.
I like it.
With hovercrafts and lances in the parking lot of Tate's, that'd be awesome.
Starting local is totally possible. We just need a bunch of busted up Radio Shack shit and a couple of small firearms.
I'm still not sure. All the busted up
mounted on poorly programmed Arduino robots that I made on my 3D printer.
Mom, what a robot shot me!
Instead of a parking lot, less friendly fire.
Hey, my makerspace is in the middle of a really bad part of town. It's a perfect environment.
Ah, the shots wouldn't even be noticed.
Exactly.
There's like voodoo shamans and everything living in there, so it would just be one more thing weird going on in that place.
Oh, I love it. They can take place, and it's like technology versus voodoo. We don't care how you win, just compete.
You can't put a hex on a robot, it doesn't have a soul, dummy.
Okay, so we have, all right, this is awesome. We worked in reverse, like, you know, we took the 10,000 foot view. Or the 10,000 foot view, and we brought it down to reality that we could, you know, we could start this tomorrow now.
This is like, what did they used to play in high school?
Laser tag?
Shopping cart polo?
Yeah. Let's start with, yeah, right, you're right, Brian, that's a good, we're taking it up a level from the shopping cart.
Yeah, we're getting microcontrollers involved and some voodoo hex, we're good. That's where we gotta start.
Cool, so, you know, coming to a parking lot near you, the beginning...
Look for our Kickstarter.
Look for our Kickstarter. We estimate, I mean, we're going to try to raise up to $500 for this endeavor. That'll allow us to go national. We'll call it Parking Lot Trash Bot Wars. Like, you don't care about either of these robots. You just want them both to die.
We'll call it Lot Bowl. And we'll round up our own Shaman and our own Arduino robots. We're good to go.
I like it. I mean, but here's the thing. Like, the Arduino robot... I just imagine the Arduino powering something. It doesn't have to, but I always imagine it powering something small. So, like, are they just going to power roller skates or something that the Shaman rides on or something?
No. It's like one has to outwit the other.
Is it a roller skator? Like, I mean, basically, do the Arduino power roller skates take the place of the eventual light cycle?
No, we were thinking more of the MacGyver style.
I'm sorry.
So we've got the Shaman. The Shaman has to hold his own against a poorly programmed Arduino 3D printed robot with a pawn shop bought firearm attached.
But the Shaman can just, like, while you're trying to think up your robot, the Shaman can use his powers to make you dumb. So, like, you can't think of anything.
Well, that's the challenge. We'll see.
So I think the Shaman's at a disadvantage. Like, again, you can't put hexes and spells on a robot. It doesn't. It has no feelings. It feared nothing.
But it's a poorly programmed robot. So
we can program it. We can put such holes in its logic that fear could be inserted into the code.
It'll be programmed so poorly that it'll be brilliant.
Every like 500 milliseconds, it pauses and listens on the serial port for like voodoo inputs.
See, there you go. Problem solved.
There we go. Okay, so we do give the Shaman a chance. All right, coming soon. Voodoo Trash Bot Wars.
Ganzalot Wars coming to a parking lot near you.
What the hell are we even talking about? I don't even know where this topic went.
Isn't this a Super Bowl episode?
I have absolutely no idea.
But we realized that we were in over our heads. We had to pull it back and start at a realistic place. I've got Mystic Voodoo Shaman, and I've got 3D printed Arduino robots. So we're good to go.
Again,
we just gotta go find a stolen gun. We're good.
For the record, we're gonna approach a person who's actually a practitioner of voodoo, and they're gonna be offended, like deeply offended, that we would like trivialize their religious beliefs like this. So it's gonna be like one of us dressed up like a voodoo shaman. I just wanna point that out. Getting shot at by another one of us.
Oh, we need a YouTube channel now.
We've got one.
All right, I think we've gone so far off anything like rails with this episode. I don't know if they're maglev rails or otherwise, that I think we need to wrap this up before the jocks catch wind of our... I mean, this is, you know, honestly, this is why nerds get beat up. Like, just saying shit like this out loud.
I know. We can't even bring ourselves to have a true sports episode. In the vein of our own culture, it still turns into this retarded bastardization of who knows what.
Completely incoherent. Like, this is like, dude, just shut up and stop talking before I punch you. Like, I get it now. It's frustrating.
I don't want to punch myself.
I want to beat myself up in the locker room. Don't beat yourselves up, though, listeners. Don't beat yourselves up for not supporting us. Instead, I would recommend that you swing over to iTunes, slap a 5-star rating on our latest episode, or on our podcast as a whole, I should say, and subscribe to the Nerd Extravaganza podcast.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can pop your Arduino on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, rate the show, give us some show ideas, obviously we need them, or send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
You can join us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/nerdstravaganza. Join the fun, join the discussion, post who you think's gonna win. We'll take odds on the shaman.
My odds are on the Arduino.
With that, I guess as Super Bowl fans, we can only say
peace!
Football!
Dude, this is the
voodoo.
This is the single dumbest episode we've ever had. Oh my god. I'm sorry. I feel personally responsible.